Chairman. I always enjoy listening to you. I do pray for you guys often, but I know what you're talking about, kind of in the limbo. All the jails and prisons are shut down in New York, so that's my ministry, is getting in there and being able to minister. But a long time ago, when we first started this, the Lord just started having me to deal with people through the mail. And so the mail hasn't stopped during COVID, okay? And so I minister just as hard to them through the mail. And you can read that in 2 Corinthians where Paul says, I'm going to set this off, Luke, because I talk loud, so you might want to be ready. Paul says that I write these things to you, right? He's absent from the church, but he says, when I come, I'll preach the same things, because they thought he was weak in his preaching. Yeah. He goes, with these things that I write to you, when I get there, I'm going to preach those same things. So that's kind of what I have going on now, is being bombarded with letters. You know, we just sent out almost 200. We're almost at 200 devotionals now. Bibles, we're getting 1 to 5 new people a week coming to us and such. And so writing letters through JPay, through the mail, ministering to them, reaching out to their families, wherever we can be used in that, the Lord has still opened that door for us. And so it's been a blessing to see that when COVID can stop so much, it doesn't stop the mail. I thank God for that, because most ministries are built to be face-to-face, right? That's the best way to do it, right? Face-to-face. But if you can't be face-to-face, there's the mail. And mail's very important. And I got cards over there for those who come to Black Creek. You ever want to send a card to somebody, they're there. We provide everything. All you got to do is put in there that you're praying for them, and we'll send it out for you. You got nothing else. You got to pay for notes, postage or nothing, okay? Those people love getting mail. So Jesus Christ said, they were speaking of Jesus Christ, and they said this about him. They said, well, he's as one who speaks with authority and not as the Pharisees. Why did Jesus speak that way? Because he believed in what he was preaching.
Amen.
And when you believe in what you're preaching, you'll speak with authority. And so if I get excited, that's why, because I believe what I'm preaching.
That's good.
I believe that this King James Bible still can save souls. It does bring people to repentance. It does bring them to what they need to say. And I'd held the Bible to some people I was working with that I'd have said, here, my friends, is where you're going to find the answer to salvation. This is where it's going to come from. Whether it be a man of God up there preaching or you reading in that Bible, God is going to show you exactly what it's going to take for you to get saved. And I thank God for it, that he still works in that Bible. But if I get a little excited, that's the reason why I get excited, because I preach what I believe. You want to know somebody, watch them for 5 minutes, and you'll know exactly what they believe by the way they talk and how they walk and the things they do. Oh, sure, I believe the King James Bible, but yet they're quoting NIV. That's a reality. Yeah, I prefer the King James. Oh. Well, I prefer that you're leading people astray. And so today I want to touch a little bit on something the Lord had to touch me on. It's called hindering the gospel. Ouch. That was painful for me to see that my outward things, but my thoughts, my heart, sometimes can hinder the gospel from saving, getting people getting born again or getting saved because of the way I think or the way I handle a situation or whatever has happened. The Lord just showed me, Dale, there's times that you're hindering the gospel at this time. And man, when that hit me, I was just like, ow, oh, that hurt. And so I repented of that. And then I was just sitting there and I was thinking and I was contemplating that. And the Lord just said, here's a message. I had nowhere to preach it, Brother Sally, nowhere. And then Pastor John called me. He said, would you do the Pastors and Wives Fellowship? Boom. I said, I know where I'm preaching it. Instantly, I knew. It was, no, well, should I preach it? No, instantly, I knew. And so if you would turn with me to the 1 Corinthians chapter 9, here we got Paul speaking. And we're going to see what he has to say here. And we're going to go through quite a few verses. And so if Brother Sealy, would you open this service with prayer, please?
Father, we thank you for this time that we have together, Lord, to be around your word. God, I pray that you would send the Holy Ghost anointing upon
him. Help us, Lord,
right now. Lord, anoint his lips. I pray that you guide him through the message that you've given him. Lord, thank you for this avenue and the ability that we have to proclaim your word and to be able to share these things, these truths. Lord, I pray that you would just come down mightily upon us.
Yes,
help us. Through our hearts. Don't let us leave this place the same way we came in. I thank you for it, Lord, and I pray it all in the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
pray for us as well. So far, our calendar's starting to get up some meetings, and I'm very thankful for that. Lord just put on my heart at the beginning of this year to get out there and start getting out there. We're very close, Pastor, to where Amy won't have to work. We may be able to take her contract and void it as of May. We'll just see what the Lord. We'll just see what the Lord does. I'd love to be out there full time. I believe that's what the Lord wants from us. So He's going to just have to make that happen for us. And so, 40 years of lost, right? 40 years of being a lost man out there living that way. And here's just over 9 years. Mm. Don't talk about a miracle in 9 years of what Jesus Christ can do to a person and a family. There's not a mental hospital, a jail, a rehab, medications, illegal drugs, legal drugs that could ever do those things that Jesus Christ has done to me and that family.
Amen.
I'm just telling you right now. And that we're not perfect. You can go ahead. I'll let you talk to my children. I never tell my children, listen, don't say this to somebody. I never do that to my kids. If they're going to talk to you, you're going to get the good and the bad of the Morey family.
Amen.
Okay? Because we're not perfect. But I'll tell you what. It's a whole different family than what it was 9 years ago. I guarantee you that. And so we got to give God the glory for that. Look at it says here in 1 Corinthians 9, chapter verse 12. It says, if others be partakers, and he's talking about people who are not believing things. And look what he says. If others be partakers of this power over you, are we not rather? Nevertheless, we have not this power, but suffer all things. My friends, if you're in any kind of a ministry, and you guys are, we are going to suffer things. Whether they're, look at, most people say, yes, I'm suffering for Jesus. But the reality is they're suffering for their own stupidity.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay? We get that confused, man. I'm really suffering hard for Jesus. And then you look back at their life and go, man, if that's suffering for Jesus, I don't want nothing of it, because it looks like you're suffering for yourself. And there's a difference in that. And the Lord had to show me that in my own Christian life in the last 9 years. The Lord's had to show a knucklehead like me a whole lot of things. A whole lot of things. Look at it says this, but suffer all things lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. What an accusation to have put against you. What an accusation if God tells you, hey, in this action or in this motive or in this thinking or in this, you are hindering the gospel of Jesus Christ going out to lost people. Imagine sitting at your desk and you read that and God goes, that's you. That was me. Not always. You see, we always take things and we always blow it up on a bigger level. Well, you got to be at this certain level to be doing that. Oh, no. Oh, no. It could be a thought. Yeah. It could be the way we handle our wives and children.
Uh-oh. Come on.
I always get myself caught up in that. I commit adultery against God. How? I put my wife and kids above Him. That's a hard place to be. You know why? Because when I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, when I'm doing what God needs me to do and I'm right with Him, which ain't much, my family gets the benefits. The benefits aren't just for me, brother. They're for my whole entire family to reap those benefits. And things go a whole lot better. But I'm just saying, imagine being a serious charge that Paul was making here. In other words, what he's saying is that we're stopping people from being born again by hindering the gospel of Jesus Christ. What a shame on our part that the accusation, God shows you that and He brings it to light. And so many people, I watch it, just blow it off. It's not a big deal. Because they've come to a place where they're blind by that hindrance. And it really, how do we do this? Let's go through a few things and I'll show you what the Lord showed me. If you go back up to verse 10 and it says here, or saith he altogether for our sakes, no doubt this is written, that he ploweth should plow in hope. And he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of this hope. Listen, my friends, we hinder the gospel when we don't plow, when we don't thresh, when we don't plant or sow or water with hope that Jesus Christ can still save people. Hey, listen, in the ministry, we can get in this kind of thinking. I've been sowing for so many years with these people, I just don't think it's going to happen. You're sowing, you're planting, you're watering without hope, and that's a hindrance to the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Then people aren't going to get saved, and most likely you're going to have an accountability on your hands of why these people aren't getting saved. Oh, that hasn't happened to me yet. Be careful. God gave me this message for today.
Come on.
I guarantee you that. God gave me a message. You will run into it. If an ex-convict who got saved 9 years ago, Lord, accused me of this. Surely it's coming to somebody in this room. Surely it's coming. And there's a whole lot more than that, but we're getting that. When we go out there, and I'm going to hand a tract to somebody, and we hand that tract to somebody, where's your hope? We look at people in our churches. There's certain people I look at, and man, I was just going, you know what? That person can't be saved. Become cynical. Jesus can't say, why isn't he doing it? Why is this whole long drawn? Is it not going to happen anymore? I remember God just showing me. You're hindering the gospel. You're going out there and you're trying to preach a hope that you don't have. That's what it says. These are all actions that Christians, men of God, wives, these are all things that God expects us to do, is to get that gospel out to others. And 1 Peter 3:15 says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. We hinder the gospel of Christ when we can't give an answer to the hope that's in us or to believe that Jesus Christ can still save others. Look, I want to read Luke chapter 18, if you would. Just turn to Luke chapter 18. Look at what it says here. And you may know this, but Luke chapter 18. I always tell people this. Well, they say, I know those verses, but can you live them? I don't care how many verses you know, how much can you live? See, God expects us to not only know verses, but to be able to implement those things into our life. That's where the change comes. Look at Luke chapter 18, starting verse 9, and he says this, and it says, and he spoke a parable unto the certain, which, here it is, ready, trusted in themselves, that they are, what? They were righteous. And here it is, and they despised others. My friend, you want to hinder the gospel? You'll start despising those people that you don't think God can save. You'll build up a resentment towards them, and you just say, it's been too long, God has cast them off, they're not going to get saved, and you'll start despising those very people in your heart, and that will hinder the gospel of Jesus Christ ever getting to them, and you'll be the one stopping it. Man, that's a hard accusation, isn't it? If that doesn't bother you in this room today, man, there is something seriously wrong with your spirituality. Are we being a hindrance? Are we taking a look? Because we want to do good, right? We want to do the right thing. That's why we do the ministry. But what is it inside of us? What is our thoughts? What is our heart telling us? Is there something that God may be trying to show us that may be doing this very thing? And you know what? It don't have to be some big blown up thing. Maybe it's a small thing that's going on. Maybe we've gotten loose with a few things in our life that God doesn't want loose. You understand this? There are people in this room, you may get away with certain things God would never allow me to get away with. And there are certain things that you can't get away with, God lets me go ahead and do it.
That's right.
That'll become a hindrance to the gospel. Mm-hmm. When we're out there and we're not planting in hope and we're not threshing and watering and planting in hope that Jesus Christ can save that person, we'd write them off. Oh, we've become God all of a sudden. We know who he's going to save and not save. That builds quite a despising in the heart, especially, and I'm not accusing pastors in this church of doing that, but what I'm saying, it happens.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
go travel around the churches and look.
Yeah.
Oh, here comes so-and-so. That family's been in here 15 years and blah, blah, blah. They just started running their mouth. Why? Because they despise it. That's hindering the gospel ever reaching them people. Because that man of God or whoever it is has that in their heart towards them. What a shame. What a shame to be accused of that. And you know, they're so blind they can't see it. When you sow with no hope for a person getting saved because you're trusting in yourself, you will begin to despise that person. Trusting in ourself. God doesn't ask us to trust in us. He asks us to trust in him, to plant seed, water, thresh. And all these things have, all those things that I've mentioned, they have, they're in witnessing and going out there and breaking these fallow grounds up. And I'm going to get into some of that. They all have their place. They all have that, especially if you're in the ministry. Those are going to be things, you know, your wife is going to be with other wives. She's going to go in there. What if there's somebody that comes in that's lost and such? What about the ground that she might be plowing up? Huh, Brother Celia and her piano playing and such. What about that? My wife used to fight all the time. Honey, I don't want to be in the ministry. I never forced my wife to do anything, ever. But God has opened up the door for Amy and all these women to flock to her that she's able to deal with. It had nothing to do with me. If I forced my wife into it, it would hinder the gospel. It would take away anything that she would ever enjoy working with those women. I've never done that to my wife.
Amen. Glory to God.
That's right. God can do that. And it's made her comfortable in it. So now she's opened up to it, okay? Because God done that thing. God done that thing. But look, to plow is to break up or to prepare the ground for planting. Isaiah 28, 24 and through 26 says, doth the plowman plow to all day to sow? Doth he open and break the clods of the ground? Man, you know, it took a long time for that ground to be broken up inside of me. I've been down the Romans Road hundreds of times. I prayed, I don't know how many prayers, I got dunked at least 3 times. You know what that didn't do? Never broke up that ground. Nobody ever wanted to take the time to just sit me underneath some Holy Ghost preaching and let God deal with me. Let him break up that ground. Let him prepare that soil. Then when the word of God was going to be ready, it was going to be planted and bam, it was over with. It was done. It happened just like that instantly. Salvation was the easiest thing that ever happened to me, Brother Phil. It was getting there. It was that plowing that had to take place. That plowing's a painful place. And now instantly we start plowing, and when somebody comes up here to the altar, and instantly we think, look, they're repenting. No, they're not. God just dealt with them on one thing. God knows, but they could repent. They could get saved at that very moment. There's nothing stopping that person from getting saved. Nothing.
Amen.
Nothing. I believe in people getting instantly saved still. It's a rare, rare thing, but I'm telling you, it can happen because God is all powerful. God gives the increase. He says, when he hath made plain the face thereof, doth he not cast abroad the fishes? Now, I want you to understand, he's telling you about different seed. You know why? Because those people got to all be handled differently. You couldn't handle somebody else the way you handled me, Pastor.
No.
Most people would have bucked it. Most people wouldn't even listen to the things that he had to say to me for me to listen. We can't deal with everybody on the same level. They're different people. And God here shows that when a person plows and they get that ground ready, that there's different seed that has to be handled different ways. They're all saved by Jesus Christ. We do know and understand that. Believing unto repentance and salvation through Jesus Christ. We understand that. But they all cannot be dealt the same way to get them there. They can't be plowed the same way. The preaching of the word of God. And handle them in each situation. Your friend there that we were talking about couldn't be handled the same way that you would handle me. Wouldn't work. But let me just say this. Let me finish here. It says, the fitches and scatter the cumin and cast the in the principal wheat and the appointed barley and the rye in their places. For his God doth instruct him to discretion and doth teach him. Who's going to teach you how to deal with them? God. He's going to give you that instruction. But let me just say this. If we want to just put everybody in a big circle and deal with them all the same way, you're hindering the gospel.
Yeah, that's right.
You're going to hinder the gospel. You're going to hinder what God has for that very person. Look at the clods are they're lumps of masses of dirt that plowing breaks up and the ground must be broken to receive the seed. So we must do the same with people in the word of God to break up that hollow, hard ground of the heart sodden with sin, sodden with pride and the devil in the world to receive the God. You know what it says in Ezra? He says that he had to prepare himself to receive the word of God and to do it.
Yeah.
There's people, man, listen, I needed to be tenderized by the word of God. God had to beat me. He had to plow to get to me. Look at. In order to be called to be a bishop, we all know what that office is. But one of the biggest disqualifying things is today? It says that a man who's called to be a bishop must be patient. You want to disqualify some people? I can bring you to some people that need to be disqualified because they're not patient with the people lost in the pews.
Yeah. That's right. That's good, brother.
Just letting you know that. Uh-oh. Is that not the same qualification as somebody being married to one wife? It sure is. They're all equal.
Amen. Yes,
that's right.
Being patient and let God deal with that person. You know what? If a man of God is not patient, he's hindering the gospel.
That's right.
Yeah.
Tearing it up. Inoculating them. I just read that book. I don't know how I got that little pink book from you guys. It's got your name on it from when you lived in Gaston.
Okay.
Inoculation to the gospel. I read that this morning. I was just like, man, I love it. But that's what happens. We hinder the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look at this must be done with patience, for it may be a long process. But we hinder This when we plow without hope that Jesus will save this person. You know, sometimes you look at these lost people and you go, gosh, is it, Lord, is it ever going to happen? Hey, Lord, would you know what my prayer has got, Pastor? Lord, give me the one word it's going to take for that person to get saved. Would you give that to me? Surely I would love to have that word out of your word. That's, I'm going to just speak it out of my mouth and that person is going to get saved. Surely, Lord, would you give me that wisdom how to handle these lost people? Surely, Lord, would you be kind unto me and unto that person that's sitting under the preaching that they might hear that word and get saved. Man, that's my prayer. I don't want to be a hindrance to the gospel. I want to see people get saved. You know what? Don't you, Aim? Have some more people sitting in the church saved, born again, Jesus Christ in them. My goodness, here's the very one spitting in the face of Jesus Christ for 40 years. I'm preaching that Bible.
Yeah.
Preaching the Bible. I still get excited about being able to preach. That God will give me that opportunity to put me up here. Not because I'm anything, but because He is everything.
That's right.
Amen. He's what you made sitting up here. It's not me. I could never do this, and the world couldn't touch me. 40 years, they tried everything on this planet, Brother Celia. Guess what? Bing! Over 9 years ago now, I ran into a wall called the love of Jesus Christ, and it stopped me dead in my tracks. Turned me the other way. There was nowhere else for me to go. The night I got saved, I knew one thing. I was either getting saved or I was dying. Well, I did die. The old man died and the new man came. How about that? That's good, right? But what if? Whoever was up here preaching, whoever was plowing, whoever was sowing, whoever was watering was hindering that gospel. Mm. Imagine the responsibility they're going to have with answer to God. Mm. Hey, it happens and very quickly and very easily. It's not like we always do it on purpose. It's not like something, but there are people who out there who do it on purpose, but it's not like we're trying to do it on purpose. We just get caught up in trusting ourselves. That's what happens. And surely we become a hindrance to what God is trying to do. You know, to plant or to sow only happens when the ground has been plowed and prepared to receive the seed. Luke 8, verses 5 through 15, we see the planting and the plowing that's going on. And in verse 15, that it's talking about the ground, that heart that's been prepared, it's been plowed, it's been what? Brought to a place of brokenness. But that's not it. Contrition. You know what's missing today? In people's professions, they become professional professors.
Right.
Okay? That's what they become. There's no contrition. There's no godly sorrow. You know what they're coming to the altar with? Worldly sorrow.
Yeah.
They have nobody ever showed me until I came underneath the preaching of the King James Bible in this church that it wasn't the things that I did wrong against others and the things that people did against me. That's not what God was holding against me. What he was holding against me is being a rebel against the holy God.
Yes.
Against his word.
Yep.
God had to show me that. That's what it took for me to get saved. People think, well, you think you would have known that. No. I knew I was guilty against the world's law. But Paul is very straightforward when he says there's a difference between godly sorrow and worldly sorrow.
Amen.
What does godly sorrow do? Brings a person to repent unto salvation, not to be repented of.
That's right.
Does worldly sorrow bring? Death.
Yeah.
Spiritual death and eventually physical death and an eternity in hell. Try to come to the altar with worldly sorrow. Didn't do me a bit of good for all those times I made those professions. God had to bring me to a place of contrition where I sat there and I understood perfectly what I've done my whole life against a holy God. That's what Psalm chapter 51 verse 17 talks about. The sacrifices of God are what? Broken heart, a broken spirit. We know and many people that have broken hearts and broken spirits, and they come with a profession. Go to the jail. Go to prison. You tell me those people don't have a broken heart and broken spirit, but they have no clue what contrition is. They've never been brought to that place. Why? Because nobody will preach the law to them anymore.
Yeah.
Nobody will take that word of God and show them why. I got some good guys in there that can quote many verses. I mean, these guys can teach a Sunday school. They can come up and teach behind this pulpit. They know that Bible. And I'll sit there and I'll say this, Brother Seal. I'll say, so what is salvation? That's the answer I get. Oh, what did you need to be saved from? How did you get saved? That's how I start off my lessons. Because none of them know it. All those years, all those jail ministries, not one of them has taught them what it is to be saved and what they need to be saved from. Guess what? God called me to do that. God called me to do that, Pastor. I believe that with all my heart, that God has called me to go in there and teach. Hey, what did Paul have to come and do? Teach those without the law? They're without the law. They have no clue. They just think that God is holding everything that they've ever done on this planet against them. That's what they think. They have no clue about the law. They have no clue that they're doing that against the holy God. Zero. Against thee and thee only have I sinned.
Yeah, amen.
They have no clue about that. What time were you done that, Pastor?
Well, the lady's going to feed us at 12. So you
okay,
just preach.
Very good.
And, you know, they need to bring it up here and spoon feed
it. And so that brokenness, that contrite, you know, that takes a long time to get a person under the word of God to that place where they're not just broken or have a broken heart and a broken spirit, but that place of contrition where they're starting to understand where they stand in God's eyes. Because you can go tell the person, hey, man, you're going to die and go to hell. Man, that is the truth. But let me just tell you this. The devil has taken the fear of hell out of people. They're not afraid of hell anymore. The thought of dying and going to hell doesn't even cross their mind. Go there, hey man, you know, doing those things, you're gonna die and go to hell. Well, then I'll just party with my friends. You know, look at the devil has taken away the power because of people's hearts that are so hard that he's taken away the power that the effect. You can go and read John 3:16 to somebody that bothers them zero. Boop. It's not because the word of God has lost its power, it's because they're hard hearts. Because the devil has come in and he's smoothed that all over. You know, you watch football games. John 3:16 is all over the place. You see? That verse, somebody back in the days would have been able to quote that to somebody. They would have got saved. That ain't happening today. Why? Because the Bible's weak? No. Because they're hard hearts. They're stiff necks against the word of God. Think about that. I always tell people this. Be careful what you quote to people. Because you may be hindering and not helping. When I was in prison, I would write letters to my family telling them, look, I'm in the Bible now. Look how much I saved. Look at how much I'm changed. And as soon as I walked out, jailhouse religion went. Jesus Christ got left back at the gate, and I went out there to do what I wanted. You know what that did? It hurt people today. They won't step foot in church.
Amen.
I tell men, they tell me all the time, we're writing letters to our family. I said, stop. Stop no more. Don't write letters to your family telling them about Jesus Christ and the Bible. I said, because all you're doing is burning bridges and you're hurting things. They won't need you to say anything. They can see it in you.
Amen.
Let your actions speak louder. But don't just do it from here. Do it when you get out. Bring them to church the day you get out. Get hooked up with the church the very day you get out. I sin. Church addresses and everything else, when those guys get up, they're hooked up with all churches are ready. People are ready to bring them to church. They're ready to give them a ride. You think they call them? Now that family has just heard how much you changed. The next time they're walking in, you got a needle hanging out your arm. That's how much you changed. I had a guy tell me this in there, Pastor. He said this. He said, I did 7 or 8 years in an Ohio prison. I got saved. I said, oh, great. He goes, then I got out. He goes, you know what I did? I said, I couldn't imagine. I'm thinking he's going to tell me I went to church or whatever. He said, I started smoking crack again the day I got out. Became a pimp. And I'm born again. That's what he told me. So I started preaching on jailhouse religion. And I mean, ate him up. I mean, he was about to blow his, I mean, he was like a volcano right there. He was about to cuss me out at the table. But I knew it needed to be done.
Yeah.
He says, you're talking about me, ain't you? I said, yes, I am. I said, because I lived it.
Yeah.
He goes, you're not hurt. I said, good, it needs to hurt.
Amen.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I don't hold no punches with these guys. I'm not afraid of them.
No.
I don't go in there with fear in my heart. Like, then punch me then. Okay, I've been punched before. I'll get over it. All right, I'm not afraid to go in there and say what needs to be said. And that's one thing. When I meet a new person, I'll just say this. I'm going to tell you exactly how it needs to be said because you can be talked to like a man, right? Since you talk to each other like a man all the time. Then let me come here and teach you the Bible like a man. If you can't handle that, don't sit in my Bible study. I'm not kidding you. That's how I meet them.
I like it.
Just how it is. Hey, God called me to be in the prison ministry for a reason.
That's right.
Okay? It is. It's the reality. And I love those men. You ask my wife and kids about the letters that I get from them. Tell me they don't love me. Murderers. Gang members. I mean, legit gang members. Not somebody pretending in Olean like they're a gang member. They ain't no gang member. We're talking legit gang members. And how much they love me. And they love what Jesus Christ is doing to help them. Do I believe they're saved? Probably not. No. But my goodness. Could they be? Absolutely. 100%. There's one guy I believe 100% is saved. I have to tell you that story one day. It's a wonderful thing that God has done in his life. And still, he is actually, we started in Liberty Behind Bars. He's actually a volunteer for Liberty Behind Bars in prison. He sends people names. We give them devotional. All that kind of, he's in there. Hey, Bishop, you know what his street name was? Murder. You know what he's in prison for? Murder. One of the big callers in Rochester. Big time. The whole entire jail, Pastor, for months, couldn't believe the change in this man's life. When I seen him, he's black as the ace of spades. When I seen him, he was glowing. I'm not even kidding you, man. Never wavered. He lost court. He lost trial. And I do one-on-one visits with him. I sit down with them and I do a professional visit with them to counsel with them and pray, because you know they don't always want to talk in front of people. And so I put myself out there and I do professional visits with them. And the jail's been very kind on that with me. And so I said, "So what happened, Corey?" He said, "I blew trial." I said, "Okay, what'd they give you?" He said, "They gave me 30 to life in Christ."
Oh.
I'm telling you, he never wavered one time. Then after he got up to prison, he's in Attica right now. Me and my wife went to go visit him and such. Still the same Corey. Still glowing, still out there. They call him Bishop now. How about that? For murder to Bishop. We got his testimony on our website. We bring it around with us when we're out, you know, doing the presentations, that we leave it out there for people to read and such. But that's just some of what, you know, you get to see in there. And when God really transforms a life and such, and it's a wonderful thing to see. And we stay in contact all the time, and you know, me and him back and forth with one another. But isn't that worth it? You know, Pastor knows my goal. I'll just say here, my goal is one family. I'm not after hundreds. I'm not after 10 or 15. But one family get saved and born again, sitting in church, right with Jesus Christ, doing the things that God would have them to do, I'd be satisfied with whatever time that God gives me.
Good.
And you're right. I had to get back to that, Pastor, because I was getting away from it.
Yeah, amen.
Yep, and I'm glad you called me out on that. I needed that. Look it. I get long-winded about things, and forgive me, but look it. Broken and contrite. The seed, which we all know is the word of God, has to be sown, it has to be watered, and then God gives the increase. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 5 through 9 says, "Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed?" What were they preaching that they would believe? The gospel. They were preaching the word of God. And it says that you believe. Look at one of the prayers that I like to tell the men is, you might think that Jesus Christ don't love you and that he doesn't care for you, but it's not right. I said, when Jesus Christ starts praying for me, that he doesn't take me out of the world, but that he protects us from the evil in the world, he's got a special prayer in there for you, because he says this, that I also pray for them who they might believe because of their word.
Amen.
That means God's going to give me a word to somebody and they're going to believe. If that's the case, am I hindering it?
Come on.
My word comes from this Bible. And if I'm out there doing or thinking or not doing something right, am I hindering that word from coming out of my mouth, that person may not get what they need? That's a very, we need to be self-checking. You know, the Bible says examine yourself. And it says examine yourself to see whether you be in the faith. But there's another examination that we can do to see if we're doing the right thing. If we're doing what God wants and not what we want. I know I get caught up in that. Somebody just, you know, saved, you know, 9 years or whatever. There's times I'm like, well, I think God really wants this. You know what? In the Bible, you read through your Bible, people who are doing the right thing are not always the right thing.
Yeah.
They've done, why? They've done it wrong. They thought they were doing the right thing and they weren't.
Yeah,
wouldn't you rather know, like the kid family going, they know that they're not going to be a hindrance to the gospel. They know where God wants them. They're settled in that. Isn't it an awesome thing to know that you're in that place, Brother Seeley? Brother Castillo, the pastor. What a wonderful place it is to know that you're exactly where God wants you and not where you want you.
Right.
Because there's times that we, God taught you some patience. Because he said, we're stuck here. He wants to get to the people. He wants to get to work. He wants to have his boots hit that ground and get going. But God said, wait. Psalm 27:14 says, wait upon the Lord. He'll strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, upon the Lord. That's a hard lesson to learn, is that waiting. Okay? But look, 1 Corinthians chapter, but God gave the increase. So neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God gave the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Listen, brother Josh, you don't have to get up there and answer for what I did.
Amen.
You're going to answer for what you've done. Phil, I don't have to answer for what you do. Though we are one working.
Amen.
Planteth and so on, you are one. But I don't have to answer for what you did. You have to answer for that. I used to say this, one of the, tell the guys this is, well, you know, this happened to me in my past and such. I said, let me just give you a little course in something here. I said, when Jesus Christ comes back and you stand before a holy God, you can't say, well, that guy molested me. So he's the, oh, no, you're going to answer for yourself.
Yeah.
I said, well, I didn't get rid of all that crying and whining and poor baby me, this and that. I said, you're going to stand up and be a man. Get over that thing, because you're going to have to answer for your eternity.
Yeah.
You are responsible for your eternity. I've had it happen to me. I was molested as a child. I had a man take my innocency from me. I had a woman do it. My mother's an alcoholic and a drug addict. I had it done to me. Poor me. Wah, wah. That's what I did. It's their fault. And I remember God showed me that as a lost person, you'll have to answer for what you've done.
Amen.
I'll take care of what they've done. You want to know about a super miracle? It's gone here, brother. It's gone here.
Yes.
It's no longer in me where I have nightmares about men doing those things to me. It's no longer a nightmare of me needing those drugs and alcohol or hearing the cussing. It's no longer there anymore. The darkness and being without hope is no longer there anymore. God, you know why? Because God had to take care of what me and him had to take care of. And then he took care of the rest. That's the promise.
Amen.
You answer for what you've done against me and I'll take care of the rest. Get people to believe that. Get them to believe that. And it'll change their whole life and eternity.
Mm-hmm.
I know bad things were done to you. I know that. And my heart breaks for you. But you need to take care of what you've done against the holy God. He'll take care of the rest.
Amen.
What you want to know about a hope?
Yeah.
That's a hope. It's a hope that people need to know about. Are we being a help? Or being a hindrance.
Come on.
God help us to be a help and a hope to others. Hosea 10:12-13 says, sow to yourself in righteousness, reap in mercy. Because God knows we have a tendency to get out of that. So what's he tell us to do? Break up your fallow ground.
Yeah.
Go ahead. You've gotten hard now. You started despising people and started trusting in yourself. And he says, break that up now. You need to break up that fallow ground. And what's he say here? Break up that fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. You have plowed wickedness. You have reaped iniquity. You have eaten the fruit of lies. Because why? Because thou didst trust in thy way and the multitude of mighty men. Boy, that's a thing that's spreading across. That's a disease in the churches today, Pastor, is watching everybody under mighty men instead of the mighty God.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh my goodness. It's like a cancer eating away the church. I hear all these young men who supposedly are called to preach and so on. You know, they're all these young. And all they've been called is their father wants them to go out there and be a trophy.
Yeah.
Come on.
All that pastor wants is somebody to be a trophy. Oh, look at this. Look at that. And God hasn't called them. You want to know what they're called? Let's bring them to the west side of Buffalo and let them deal with them people for a while. Yep. That's my motto. Let's put them in the real. Let's see what you're really called to.
Yeah.
That's a reality. Because mighty men have told people they're called. You've been called. But you know what? It's not about the calling, because Paul says another thing. And separated unto. That's where it makes the separates the men from the mice, as they say. Because you may have a calling on your life, but are you willing to be separated unto that ministry? That separation unto is a hard thing to go through. That's when God decreases you so he can increase. You see, when he starts moving you out of the way, moving what you want and your desires out of the way, and he starts coming in. You see, people forget about that being separated unto. Who are you called? Paul says, I've been called by Jesus Christ, not men. Man didn't call me. My pastor knew I had a calling on my life before I knew, but you know what? God had to confirm that. And when he confirmed it about 6 months after I got saved, Brother Josh, God just told me this, put your boots on. Time for training. He hasn't stopped. Hard. It's hard because me and my family have to go through things to help others. That's what it says. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 through 5. He's the God of all mercy and comfort, who comforteth us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort others who are in any trouble. You mean to tell me your family's going to go through things to help others? Yep. And if anybody is really called and separated unto the God, unto the ministry in this room, that will happen to you too. Because you can't understand what they're going through unless you've been through it yourself.
Amen. Amen.
How can you say to somebody, well, I understand how you feel, if you don't understand how they feel?
That's right. Come on.
Or what they've been through. Can you pay? I've always been able to pay all my bills. Well, you know what? God took almost all of our money away from me and my wife, and we weren't able to pay bills. Now it was just him. We had nothing else. Two people needed a Bible at the Allegheny County Jail when we started this ministry. I had enough. I had about $7 or $8 in our bank account, right? We're like, well, where are we going to eat at? It's either send the Bibles in or eat. Guess what we did? We sent the Bibles in. Not even kidding you. We never told a single soul, Pastor.
Amen.
We came to church. In the back of our car, somebody left a box of food and a $25 gift Walmart gift card.
Amen.
Yeah. Now, that's what it's called to be separated unto.
Amen.
Not easy. I don't sit here like I got an S on my chest. Like, hey, man, it's some of the most brutal times ever. You mean I got saved just to have this? Oh, no. When we get through that, it's better on the other side. It's better on the side. That's why I always tell people, stop praying that God gets you out of things and pray that he gets you through them. Because you'll learn more going through it than you ever will getting out of it. Hard prayer. Hard prayer when you're in the middle of something. Then we come to threshing. To thresh is an action of separating the wheat from the chaff or other crops that are grown. We're called to do the same, men, with people and the word of God. Threshing consists of separating religion and a relationship with Jesus Christ. They don't understand the difference. You see, as men of God, we're called to show them there's a difference between religion and a relationship with Jesus Christ. Thank God I gave up religion almost 10 years ago, and I got that relationship with Jesus Christ because it changed my life.
Amen.
And as men of God, we are to go out there and show people, we're to thresh, to separate that thing and show them that's what you have is religion. You've been trapped in that. Let me show you something better. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. And we do that with the word of God by preaching to them and loving them. Just think about when you talk to somebody. You say, you know, I've been praying for you, a lost person. That lights up their face.
Amen.
They love to hear that somebody remembered their name and they're praying for them. Look at it says here, it's a constant separating a religion and a relationship. The King James Bible and other versions. Who else is going to teach them to separate? Who else is going to teach them? When guys come into my, he knows, when they come into my Bible study, if they're sitting with any other Bible, I'll tell them to get up and get out. You just stay there. We'll let the Holy Ghost take care of that. I don't say a word to them.
Amen.
And by the time I'm done with that visit there or the next visit, they say, hey, can I get one of those Bibles? I have the wrong one. You sure can.
Amen.
There you go. Brand new King James, baby. I ain't had to say a word. We just let God do that. That's threshing.
Yes, sir.
That's that separation that God. It doesn't happen. It happens 99% of the time, but there's times it don't happen. But I still work with those men.
That's right.
Still working with them today, trying to show them the difference in those Bibles.
Yep.
That's what I'm called to do.
Amen.
God's called me to do that.
I like it.
Look at it says here. Saving faith and work salvation. That's another threshing that needs to take place because people get caught up in the religious experience and stuff. Okay? And the old man and the new man. As a new Christian, people don't understand the old man and the new man. So as men of God, we have to show them what that is about. What is going on inside this person? You know, they get themselves in that Romans 7 type of battle that goes on back and forth, and they don't understand it. You know, it takes a man of God to show them, or a woman of God who's saved, to work with another woman and show them, well, this battle is because of this. What a threshing. What an honor that God would take a person, man or woman, and show a person why they're going through those things. What a blessing that God sees fit today. Amen. In 2021. We're sitting here and doing the work that God has us to do.
Amen.
Yeah.
Could you imagine the mercy?
Oh, God.
Just think of the mercy that Dale Morey, Josh and Jenny, Pastor, the Cassiels and the Seals are sitting in church this morning. My goodness. What a wonderful thing, my love. God had to kill me to give her the man she needed. That's a reality. She prayed that. She would pray that God would kill me. And he did. He answered her prayer. He killed that old sucker and gave her a new husband. We thank God for it. And I'm still a knucklehead, though. I'm still a heart. God, you know, thank God for his mercy. Because I thank God that that word long-suffering is in there. Because, boy, he sure is going to put up with a lot of nonsense for me. Well, thank God for it. But look, 1 Corinthians 9:14, where we start, it says, even so hath the Lord obtained that they which preach the gospel should live the gospel. Oh, my God. You know, that is so hard to get people to see today. That if, listen, if you're going to open that Bible and you're going to do a Sunday school or you're going to go and teach a lesson or preach, you have to live that. You have to live what you're preaching because, I mean, in my younger years of being a new Christian, I had people really pull my card on that. Well, you know, Dale, you say this, but then I see you're doing this, and I'm like, ooh, the appearance of evil. Remember, it says the appearance of evil. You may think everything is okay. You may not think that thing you're doing is evil, but if a person in your church or in your ministry thinks that's evil, you must be done with it. You know why? You're a hindrance. You're hidden in the gospel, especially to a lost person. But I remember getting myself caught up in it. Look, it says if you're going to preach the gospel, you must live the gospel. Why? Because actions speak louder than words. Your actions will show people more of who and what you are than anything that will come out of your mouth. I remember when I started working at McDonald's, that's where my training ground began for me in the ministry, was working at McDonald's. God actually taught me how to handle people spitting at me, throwing things at me, cussing me out at McDonald's, because I would not have known that I was going to be in a jail ministry. And being in that jail ministry, when I first started out, before Brother Cassiola became part of the ministry and him and his son are still in there, I would have not known that the officers were going to cuss me out, men were going to cuss me out and call me out. That I would not have been able to handle that unless I went through that training there. And then guess what? Once the Lord seen that fit that I had passed that, he closed that door for me to go and now open up Monroe County Jail. 1,600 men when I got there. Mm-hmm. Brother, you know what happened? My first day there, I go up there and I'm up there talking. Oh, here comes this white dude preaching white Jesus. Get out of here. We don't want you on our floor. Man, you come up here again. We're gonna take care of you. Gonna spit on me. If I couldn't handle that, I wouldn't have been sitting in that jail.
Amen.
You know what I did not do? I did not react. I just looked at him and I smiled. You know what happened? The very following week, those same two men laid on the floor and said, please pray for me. I was able to give them King James Bibles and they started coming to my Bible study. But what if I couldn't handle somebody spitting at me at McDonald's?
Come on.
Yeah. I would have never made it to Allegheny. I would have never made it to where I'm at today. You see, there's a separating unto. God knows what he's doing, because I could have became a hindrance to the men at the Monroe County Jail instead of a help. I don't ever want to be a hindrance. They're watching. I had one guy tell me this. I'm not trying to take too much time. That's my ministry, so I talk about it a lot because I see it. But I had this black guy who just, he hated white people. Hated them. He couldn't stand a white person. And so finally, after about my fourth or fifth time coming around and preaching to other people, he came up to my gate. He said, hey, did they stand up here? One, the cells are here and here. So I'm at his feet, right? There's bars here and such. And he kicks at me. Hey. I said, yeah, what's up, man? He's like, I've been watching you. I said, good. He goes, I've been hearing you preach. I've been hearing you give your testimony. I said, yes, sir. And so what's up? He goes, I don't like white people. I said, okay. And he goes, I fought all three times of coming to this gate. I fought every time you were here. I fought it. I fought it. I fought it. And he goes, I can't fight it no more. Would you help me? I said, absolutely. 100%. And I stayed there for an hour with that guy. He's the only one I focused on. I stopped, gave him a Bible, still in contact with him today. He's at Wendy State Prison. And he said, you know what? Because of you, you helped me get over that hatred of white people. I'm a white dude full of, listen, who do I mostly work with, Amy? The black folks. That's reality. That's what God gave me. And they love me. And I mean, they love me. There's no, oh, maybe they, no, they love me. I guarantee they love me. You know what? I work with their families now. They come hear me preach when I'm in Rochester and such. And I'm always out there trying to do that. That's what I do. That's what God called me to. But what if I go in there and hinder that gospel?
Yeah.
By the way I live or don't live? What if I say something that hinders that person? What a fear it is of mine. And I'm almost done here. There was one more thing that I wanted to read. Now we're going to end it with this. Romans 15:13 says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Why? That you may abound in hope. You know, that word abounding in the King James Bible means it's something that seems big. You don't have to go tell people about your hope. They see it in you. Abounding, those things that are just, they're in you and people can clearly see it by the way you walk and the way you talk and the things that you say. Many times when I forgot to tell you about the story of McDonald's, when I was working at McDonald's, I was working there for probably about 2 months and I didn't talk to many people, right? Because I'm a new Christian and not sure how to handle being around worldly people. So kind of just, I become a recluse kind of. And so I'm walking around, but I'm doing everything by the books, exactly the way it needed to be done. And people kind of looked at me strange. And then I had a woman come up to me. She got more tattoos than I do by far. And she came up to me. She says, can I ask you a question? I said, you sure can. I said, what's up? She goes, you're a Christian, aren't you? I said, sure. I said, what made you think? She goes, just by the way you do things. Lauren. Hello, Lauren? Lauren, we tried ministering to her for many, many years. She still talks to us once in a while, but imagine if I was in there walking the way I used to walk and talking the way I used to talk. And then when I became a manager, it became very hard on the people in that place. Why? Because I did everything by the books. But guess what? I tried skipping a corner one time cleaning. A legit, just a corner. Nobody would have known it. And I walk away from that. And I stopped and go, I am so sorry, Lord. And I knew, go back and clean that corner. I knew for the first time in my life I was able to be told what to do. My pastor called me up many months ago when I was driving to the jail. He said, I need such and such. I said, Pastor, I'll do it. And I just hung up that phone. I go, oh my gosh. And I just started crying. I said, somebody can tell me what to do. For the first time in my life, I'm able to be told something to do and I go and do it. But let me just say this. If I didn't do those things, how much of the gospel would I have hindered? You see, it doesn't always have to be something that we do on purpose that hinders the gospel. It could be a corner that we cut or a feeling inside of us towards another or trying to handle people all in a big bunch or whatever. But I'm just telling you today, if we want to get the gospel out to people, God has given it to us in our hearts. You know, it's like that fire that burns inside of us and we got to say it, right? You just want to get out there, I want to say it. But in that saying it, what are we doing? Are we being a help or a hindrance? And so my friends, my pastor friends and missionary friends, my challenge is this. Do you want to be a help or a hindrance? Why don't you examine, not saying anybody in here is doing it, but you know, take an examination of yourself and see if there might be some little thing that maybe you can change, or maybe to help a direction in your church or your ministry at some point. And just listen, because I know for sure, without a shadow of a doubt, God had me preach this message today for this meeting, okay? You take it for what you will, but I just ask that you continue to pray for me and my family, Liberty Behind Bars, as you continue to pray for yours.
No, shut that off.